This is Shir 33 in our series on Avodas HaBetochen. Today we're going to add a vital foundational concept. The precise amount of Hishtalos you're obligated to perform changes dynamically in accordance with the personal level of a person's Betochen. As the Beis Halevi explicitly uncovers in his commentary on Bereishis, Perek 41, Pasuk Aleph, Pasuk 1, the required measurement of physical effort is absolutely not equal across all human beings. Rather, the volume of labor demanded by Hashem is entirely customized to each individual based on their current spiritual standing. This relativity introduces an extraordinary spiritual law. If a person has attained an exceptionally high madriga spiritual level where they could naturally maintain absolute emotional calm by doing only a minimal amount of work, then any additional hour they spend engaging in commerce is considered a spiritual blemish. Whatever a person increases to exert effort beyond what is strictly necessary for their specific level of faith is characterized as an outright sin against their Midas HaBetochen. The Beis HaLevi utilizes this exact principle to resolve why Yosef HaTzadik was severely punished with an additional 2 years of bondage. Because Yosef stood at the astronomical level of Betochen, it was considered an unnecessary, unauthorized overexertion of Hishtalos for him to verbally reach out and ask the Sarah Mashkin to remember him to Paret. What this means for the average person is that if someone is currently starting on a lower developing tier of Betochen, they are halachically required to step into the standard natural tracks of labor outlined by Teva, by nature of the world. However, as your internal connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu systematically intensifies and grows, the amount of physical hishtalos you are required to perform continuously decreases. Concurrently, we must establish a crucial foundational principle. There will always remain an absolute necessity to perform a microscopic baseline minimum of effort, even if a person reaches the ultimate pinnacle of Betochen. You can never reduce your physical labor to literal zero. You're metaphysically commanded to perform a minor physical action simply to serve as a natural garment to safely cover over and conceal the underlying miracle of Hashem's blessing. This forces us to confront a highly practical real world question. How is an individual able to objectively measure what their true level of Betochen is so they can accurately calculate exactly how much Hishtalos they should be doing? The answer, as documented across a wide array of classic Hashkafic works, is that your spiritual baseline is determined entirely by the raw level of deep calm and serene tranquility you feel inside your current situation. The Beis HaLevi defines this clearly. The ultimate test of your Bechinas HaBetochen is the presence of Hashkotas Ruchoi V'Liboi, the quiet stabilization of your mind and heart to smoothly cast your complete cast your complete burden upon Hashem. You simply elevate how anxious or tranquil you are when facing a real-world circumstance that demands your effort. Another metric to calculate your true level of Betochen is unraveled by Rav Dessler in Michtavel Me'Elio, volume 1, page 188. He notes that a person frequently executes a specific strategy to secure Parnasa, but the business transaction completely fails to generate any results. Following that failure, if the person is unable to withstand the test and is consumed by a deep sense of toxic regret, bitterly wishing that they had worked longer hours or executed a different strategy, it serves as a diagnostic sign that your faith was weak and you are currently required to work more hours to buy more emotional peace. To firmly cement the reality that the required measure of labor is explicitly tailored to a person's individual level, we must look at how the Torah holds out our greatest spiritual ancestors to this exact same standard. The Ramban, in Bereishis 12:10, levels a shocking, uncompromising critique against Avraham Avinu when he chose to descend to Mitzrayim due to a famine. Out of fear that the Egyptians would murder him to capture his beautiful wife, Avraham performed an act of hishtalos by instructing Sarah to claim she was his sister. The Ramban states, I'm going to just quote the whole Ramban passage and then I'll explain it. Da ki Avraham Avinu chata chit gadol b'shkogo, inadvertently, shehevi ishtoi hatzadekes b'mishkol ovoim b'fnei pachtoi pen yihar gihu v'hoyeloi l'vtoyach b'ashem sheyatzil oysoi v'es ishtoi v'es kol ashaloi ki yesh b'leikim koyach la'azor u'lahatzil. The Ramban explains that by Orchestrating a defensive strategy, Avram mistakenly brought his righteous wife into a dangerous spiritual obstacle. In exact accordance with his sky-high madrigo, he was expected to rely flawlessly on Hashem's absolute protection to save his life and his family, fully internalizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu possesses the unlimited capacity to liberate a person without human stratagems. Number two, Avram's conscription of Torah scholars, the Gemara Nedarim. In Nedarim 32a advances a parallel ketuvah against Avram Avinu when he heard that his nephew Lot was captured by the four superpower kings. Avram engaged in the shtalas of warfare, taking 318 of his elite students out to battle. The Gemara takes sharp issue with this overexertion, revealing that the ultimate historical reason that why Klal Yisrael was punished with 210 brutal years of Shiva Mitzrayim was the Gemara says it was a direct consequence of Aaron performing an improper, excessive ishtalas by conscripting Torah scholars into physical combat. It uses the lashon by taking his students chanichov yalidei beisoi to the battlefield. It says in the Gemara also on Goryo b'Talmudei Chachamim. He made improper conscription of Torah scholars, which was an excessive effort of a person on his frequency. We see. Number three is Hagar's water vessel. We see the exact sensitivity play out regarding Hagar when she was wandering with Ishmael in the wilderness. The Torah notes that she aggressively filled her water skin with tamale as chemas mayim, with a surplus of water beyond what was required for a single day. Chazal looked upon this defensive behavior as an outright deficiency in her basic emunah, demonstrating an unauthorized anxiety over the next day's sustenance. Rav Lev Chassman explains the inner logic of this critique. Because Hagar had just witnessed an open, spectacular miracle where Hashem generated a fresh wellspring out of the dry desert sand, the baseline expectation of her faith was instantly elevated. Because she witnessed Hashem's hand, her required level of ishtalas shrank, making her over-preparation a sin. Yaakov Avinu's flight from Esav, the Rashbam says in Bereishis 32:29. He introduces a radical interpretation regarding the physical injury of Yaakov Avinu sustained when he was wrestling with the angel. He notes that Yaakov was struck and left limping on his leg precisely because he executed an excessive volume of ishtalas by fleeing from his brother Esav. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had handed him an explicit divine promise of total protection, attempting to run away was characterized as an unnecessary, unauthorized overexertion. Number five, back to Yosef HaTzadik and the Sarah Mashkin. This brings us back to the classic medrash expounded upon by the Beis Halevi. It says in Tehillim 45, Ashrei Agever Asher Shom Hashem Vitachov Leifono El Rehovim. Praiseworthy is the man who makes Hashem his reliance and turns not to the arrogant. The medrash states that the first half of the verse, Ashrei Agever, refers explicitly to the magnificent heights of Yosef's Bitachon. Yet, the second half of the verse says, Leifono El Rehovim, serves as a sharp critique against him, because he turned to a human messenger by asking Sarah Mashkin to remember him, a misstep for which he had paid two additional years of imprisonment. The Beis Halevi harmonizes this glaring contradiction. Yosef was indeed a towering giant of Bitachon, but because his personal madrigo was so astronomically elevated, executing a standard human effort was an unauthorized infraction. His high frequency demanded absolute passivity. Number six, Meraglim, the Malbim, leverages this identical principle regarding the sending of Meraglim, the spies. He explains that Klal Yisrael, the second set of spies, I presume, he explains that the Klal Yisrael was ideally destined to march into Eretz Yisrael completely effortlessly without deploying any scouting strategies. The only reason the nation collapsed into unnecessary shtalas of dispatching spies was because they had fallen from the required baseline of their betochen. In our next upcoming shiur, we will continue to dive deeper into this topic.